Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
It's finally stopped snowing. Racine, my neck of the woods, parts of Racine ended up with about 21.5 inches of snow. Some with 16, some with 15, some with 17 between Sunday night and about 3 o'clock today. And, we got dumped on by a pretty good amount of lake effect snow. So at one point today, as in when I was driving to work, visibility was like at zero. Like I'm fortunate that it's only about, on a good day, a 5 to 7 minute drive to work, because if it was a half hour or more, I probably would have called in. I was tempted to call in just with a 10-minute drive to work. It ended up taking me about 20 minutes to get in. But all in all, it's finally stopped snowing here. The cleanup has started, and now just got to wait till Friday when it's supposed to be close to 60 again, and a lot of the snow hopefully is going to melt. So, pretty jam-packed show to talk about, though. It is March Madness, not just with the weather, but with the NCAA. So, we're going to talk about our NCAA tournament teams that we feel have a legit shot of winning the NCAA tournament this year. Some Packer news to update you all on. The Packers lose three guys and pick up – or I'm sorry, lose two guys and pick up one guy. So, we're going to – talk about that. And before we go any further, how are things out in Western PA? You buried in snow yet?
Well, actually, I think got a little bit lucky. We did not get any of the big heavy stuff. There's snow and it's cold, and it kind of snowed on and off, but we didn't get hit with anything blizzard-like. We probably don't even have an inch of snow. And it looked like it stopped. I don't know if there's more coming. They say it is, but really, Evan, we didn't get bombarded, so we got lucky. I think it pushed more, and I'm okay with that. It's still heck of cold, I'll tell you. I'm in the studio tonight, and space heater says 42 degrees as it's trying to blow heat at me today. But it is cold. It seems honestly like it's the coldest day of the year. I know we had some cold days earlier in January, but it's really cold. And you know what happens when it snows and gets cold like that? That snow gets crusty. So anybody listening that's out here in the East or Midwest, if you're driving like Evan did this morning, please be safe. But, yeah, we have a jam-packed show today, Evan. March Madness, NFL free agency, a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. And it's going to come and go tonight, 30 minutes, just like that. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. Let's get started.
Very quickly, to the Packer update, just to update people what's going on in free agency. So, first, Eddie Lacy decides he's going to go to Seattle. Lacy decided to sign a one-year contract with Seattle. So, best of luck to Eddie Lacy. And Troy, Death, taxes, and a Green Bay Packer signing with the Minnesota Vikings. Three things that are guaranteed in life. And Dayton Jones signs a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. But the Packers did bring Devon House back. He signed a one-year deal with Green Bay. It'd be interesting to see what Devon House can do back in a Packer uniform. He did have some pretty good moments while in a Packer uniform, but he was also quite injury prone, and Jacksonville did cut him loose, so we'll see what happens with that. But it's great to see some cornerback help, and now the Packers are going to need to look at running back help, guard help, and probably another corner, and some linebacking help and defensive line help moving forward. Not saying it's all going to be done in free agency, but between that and the draft, that's probably what they're going to have to focus on. So, before we get to NCAA tournament talk, anything you want to add about Lacy leaving, Dayton Jones leaving? Derek Cook is talking with meeting with the Vikings tomorrow, and Devon House back in Green Bay.
I want to add something because I'm starting to get a little, I don't want to say worried, but I just look at it, and these guys seem like they're bolting ship. And part of me is like, wow, I haven't seen a run on departures like this in a long time, Evan. So I'm trying to just think, is this just an anomaly, and it's just the world we live in, and maybe we were spoiled because we were taking care of our own. I just don't see where the upgrades are coming right now. I mean, you were losing a lot of people, and I know it doesn't seem like a lot of – it doesn't seem like, okay, well, we could, they're replaceable. Yeah, but on the roster, there's nobody to replace them. And I don't know what we're going to do in free agency. Devon House, okay, great. It's a cornerback that can do good things when healthy. I think it's a solid signing, but – you know, it's not the answer to all the problems on defense. Eddie Lacy going, I know it's a business decision. I know him and Mike McCarthy didn't get along at times. But you barely have any running backs right now. And then, you know, you're losing offensive linemen, pass rushers. Part of me is going, why are these guys looking to bolt so quickly? Is there something else going on that we don't know about? Are they wanting to get out? They were one game away from the Super Bowl. And I know the money's there, and is it just about the money? It just so happened that the way the contracts fell, that they all fell in 1 year, can't re-sign them all, so on and so forth. But then, you know, the way my mind works, it starts racing, Evan. And I wonder, is there something internal that makes these guys want to get out? You know, especially, you know, I look at the Eddie Lacy deal. The deal he signed didn't really break the bank. I think that it would have been a good value to bring Eddie Lacy back. You know, but he bolted ship, went to Seattle. Good for Eddie Lacy. I do want to add this. Social media. I mean, why do fans, Evan, I guess I want to rant just for a little bit. I know we want to get to NCAA. But, Evan, why do fans turn so quickly? I mean, Eddie Lacy left to go to Seattle. I mean, it's a business decision. You know, if the Packers wanted him back enough, you know, they would have made a push for him. But you see on social media, having all these fans now all of a sudden ripping on Eddie Lacy. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of that. It's just, why? I mean, if you would have stayed in Green Bay, would you be doing the same thing? I just don't like that kind of stuff, Evan, so maybe it just hit a chord with me. It's like, come on now, if you would have re-signed in Green Bay, would you be saying the same stuff? No, the answer is no. You're upset because you went to Seattle. Big deal. It's a business decision. It sucks. Believe me, I would love to have Eddie Lacy back. But now you're going to turn on the guy. Did you see any of that social media stuff, and what are your quick thoughts there?
Yeah, well, you know, social media, it brings out the worst in people. It brings out the worst in people because we can pretty much say what we want to say, and we can hide behind our they can hide behind their keyboard, and it's easy to do that. That's pretty much the reason why. It's the fact that it's that, you know, they have the ability to hide behind their keyboard. They can, you know, because I guarantee you, half the crap that they, you know, these people do that say, they're never going to say. You know, if they have the opportunity to say that to somebody's face, they're never going to say it. They're going to back off so quickly it's not even funny. So that's what it is. And I saw it. And, you know, the only person I would say, you know, I would not really have a problem with the people going after when he left is Greg Jennings, mainly because he brought it to himself with comments he was making after he left by going after Green Bay and going after Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's a different story. But we haven't seen that from Eddie Lacy or T.J. Lang or any of these people yet. But now moving on, I do want to talk some NCAA tournament. And before we talk, get going, just some NCAA facts I want to give you. They'll be the courtesy of CBSSports.com. But according to CBS Sports, the 9 most likely teams, Troy, to make the Final Four will be North Carolina, Gonzaga, Villanova, Kentucky, Kansas, Louisville, West Virginia, Duke, and Virginia have the highest probability. Carolina has the highest probability of winning it all, according to CBS Sports. Only 3 times has the number 1 overall seed won the NCAA tournament since the selection committee began ranking the number ones in 2004, Florida in 2007, Kentucky in 12, and Louisville in 13. Villanova is this year's overall number one seed and the only second since 04 to win a national championship and return the next year atop the seed list. Villanova has beaten 15 wins against teams in the tournament. No team has lost its first conference tournament game and then went on to win the national title. So Kansas, Louisville, Baylor, Purdue, watch out. Those are teams you might want to watch out for. They lost the first round of their tournament. Gonzaga has the most wins and fewest losses, while the most losses belong to South Dakota State at 18-16. They're playing Gonzaga. And Gonzaga is 22.5-point favorites over San Diego State. Nine coaches in the tournament with top four seeds in the tournament that have never made a Final Four. Mark Few from Gonzaga, Sean Miller, Arizona, Steve Alford, UCLA, Scott Drew from Baylor, Kirk Haltman from Butler, Mike White, Florida, Matt Painter, Purdue, Dana Altman, Oregon, and Leonard Hamilton, Florida State. 2016 was the last time all four number one seeds reached the Elite Eight. Before that, it was 2009. 2008 is the only time all four number one seeds have reached the Final Four. But since 2010, only 8 of the 28 Final Four appearances have come from the number one seeds. 2008, the last time a Pac-12 team, Troy, made the Final Four. That was UCLA. 2007, the last time all the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds won on Thursday and Friday. Number one seeds have made the Final Four 52 times. That's more than the combined Final Four showings, the numbers 4 through 16. One time in the past 20 tournaments have all four number two seeds made the Sweet 16, and just four times since 1985, in which number two you so times 85, 89, 95, and 96. But yeah, so just some tournament facts here. Every seed from 1 through 11 has made a Final Four. The next frontier is getting number 12 there. Through 7, 10 games feel like 8, 9 games are not. The 10s have never swept the 7s, with the exception of 1 year. The ACC bid lead all conferences with 9. 11 of 19, the past 19 years, 11 national championships won their conference tournament. And Marquette 61 RPI is the lowest of any at-large team in the field. So Syracuse fans, the Orange got left out at 84. The last year, Syracuse had a 72. So just some NCAA tournament facts. Looking at the NCAA tournament, Troy, some very interesting matchups coming up in round one, a potential really good matchups. And you got the 12-5 with Minnesota, and I think it's Middle Tennessee State. That's really intriguing to me. If you're looking for a 12-5 for a potential upset, that's one to circle right there. Notre Dame-Princeton is a 12-5 to circle. It's a potential upset. Then you got Virginia, that they should win as a 5. And then Iowa State and Nevada is another one that you should circle as a 12-5. So I'm hearing a lot of play about Rhode Island, to take a look at Rhode Island over Creighton. But just a lot of intriguing potential matchups. Like if Marquette wins against South Carolina, and we all assume Duke's going to win, it's going to be Duke-Marquette in round two, Coach K versus Steve Wojciechowski, teacher versus student in the second round. You have Northwestern making Vanderbilt, a team many feel shouldn't be in. So when you look at the tournament, before we get into which teams had the best shot to make a run, and I should say one more game that I'm very interested in, and that is, and it's going to sound crazy, but Oregon and Iona. That's a game Oregon could lose in a 14-3 matchup there, because Oregon's best player is out with a torn ACL. So that's a game that Iona could come sneak up and get the victory without Pac-12 leader and blocks toward his ACL, Chris Boucher. So what are some matchups that interest you in that first round?
Well, I do have to preface this, Evan, that Kevin and I are doing our preview show on the Go Big or Go Home show, so I can't reveal everything tonight because we haven't done everything yet with the show. But I will go in as far as I can with towing the line. You had brought up the
You're not having to give any predictions, just the matchups that you like, the potential upsets.
Well, I know it'll go down that road. It'll go down that road, though, Evan, and I can go to a certain part of it. So, and I don't know how many people listen to both shows, so we may have a totally different viewership. However, we are now both on the – we have our show on the Grueling Truth. Go Big or Go Home is on the Grueling Truth, so we may have some – bipartisan listeners, so I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But yeah, there's some intriguing matchups for sure, Evan. And you know, I look at this tournament, and a lot of times you're like just looking for that upset. But I also look at this tournament that these matchups. There's a lot of matchups in this tournament, Evan, where you could flip a coin and just watch the coin roll round and round. And I used this analogy today when we went over the Midwest and the South regions. I'm sure this happened to you, Evan. You flipped a coin before and it hit the ground and it stood on its side and it rolled around for about a minute. And you're like, just fall over already, please. So I know what's going to happen, heads or tails. I see a lot of games like that. And I see a lot of intriguing, not even, you know, first round matchups, but as you pick your brackets, there's a lot of intriguing second round picks, second round games that are out there too. That Minnesota-Middle Tennessee State game to me sticks out amongst all of them, Evan. Middle Tennessee State is a team that a lot of people are high on, as they are Rhode Island. I look at that Minnesota team. I had mentioned this. I like what they've done. They've played good basketball. They had a great winning streak going into the Big Ten tournament. Hit Wisconsin at the end of the season. However, I know that the committee looks at the last 10, but I'm looking at their last two games. Offensively, they struggled, and then they lost a player. And so they're now a 5 seed, and I think they're I'll put it this way. I think they got a gift to be a 5 seed. So when I look at Middle Tennessee State, a little-known team that had a very good year, doesn't get a lot of media coverage, not in a huge conference, but a very solid team, that could give Minnesota fits. Minnesota's only 6 deep now, and I can give this prediction because I did on the show today for Go Big. I think I got Middle Tennessee State winning that game, Evan. That's my 5-12 upset that I picked. And I'll tell you what, the Creighton-Rhode Island game, that's another one, where if you want an upset pick, that's one to pick. And then the Nevada team is also another team. If you're looking at some of these teams that you want to possibly be your upsets, Nevada, Rhode Island, Middle Tennessee State are 3 teams that are very good, not major Division I power schools, but have solid players that have very good teams that can battle with, and I'll air quote, the big boys. You know, they can battle with the big boys when they move forward. So those are 3 teams that you look at that could give some potential upsets. And I want to touch on what you said with Marquette, Evan. I think Marquette's got a great shot to get out of the first round. I know they're a 10 seed, but they're a team that can put it together and could very well move into the second round. And what a matchup that would be. You can never say, well, Duke will be there for sure. But, you know, I have no allegiance to the school named Troy, even though that's my name. Duke should pretty much crush that school, Evan. To move into the second round, and what a matchup that would be. Coach K against one of his very well-liked disciples in Wojo, and that would probably get a lot of media hype, and I'm sure the NCAA tournament is kind of hoping the committee or at least the advertisers and marketers are hoping that might be the way it goes, because that would be a great game to market then. Not that you need a lot of extra incentive for the NCAA tournament, but that certainly would be a good matchup. The chances with Marquette against Duke, well, you always got a chance, right, Evan? But I would say that in that game, I would have to also favor Duke. I like the Duke team this year overall. You had mentioned teams that we think can go pretty far. I do like the makeup of Duke. I look at that ACC this year, Evan, and what a conference it was. I think hands down they were the most deep conference in the country. A lot of good quality teams. I want to throw this out, get your thoughts. There's a play-in game tonight with Wake Forest, going on. And there was a stat, I don't think you had said it, I had heard it somewhere, that was it 3 out of the last 4 years that the play-in game winner had won? Was that correct? I don't know if that was what I had heard. I'd heard it in passing. I didn't pay much attention to it. But when I look at that game, that Wake Forest team, I know they're losing right now, but I like that Wake Forest team. And that was a team where they're going to get pitted up against the Cincinnati team, even the Kansas State team. They're going to get pitted against the Cincinnati team that's very, very good defensively, but they don't score very well. And that could be that play-in game where the winner wins. That was the one that I was looking at, the Cincinnati and the winner of Wake Forest, Kansas State, and Wake Forest. If they would happen to win, I think they'd have a great shot at beating Cincinnati. Some teams that I really like in this tournament, Evan, definitely Villanova, a good, solid team. When you look at them, you got Duke, you got North Carolina. I really like the UCLA team offensively, the way they're going. That is a team that I think could go pretty far in the tournament. I actually have them into the Final Four out of that South region. I have them knocking off North Carolina. I know you had tweeted out yesterday, and we had a listener talk about Kansas. So for our listener out there, I did not pick Kansas. I actually, Evan, I drank the Big Ten Kool-Aid and I went nuts, crazy. I don't know what I did for a little bit. Maybe I just went insane. But I actually picked Purdue to knock off Kansas, thinking they're going to get on a little bit of a run. I always do something crazy in a bracket. Probably will backfire on me. But I did not pick Kansas, so that's good for all those Kansas fans, Evan. You know this. You've been doing this show, NCAA show, with me. What is the third time we've done it? You know that when I don't pick a team, they usually go to the Final Four. So if you're a Kansas fan, you probably love me right now that I picked Purdue over Kansas. So I babbled on for a little bit, some more insight from you there. But I do like – I have UCLA on the right side of the bracket going to the Final Four along with Purdue. My other two Final Four picks will be revealed tomorrow on Go Big or Go Home, along with Kevin Cunningham. But I do like that Duke team on the left side of the bracket, Evan. I do like Arizona also, and I also like Villanova on that left side. I'm not going to reveal who I have in the Final Four yet. But on the right side, I do have Purdue and I do have UCLA as half of my Final Four. So I threw a lot out there. What else do you got to add?
Yeah, well, when I look at the field, I'm just going to name teams from each region that if you're trying to decide who's going to be playing in the Final Four, who to take. I'll first, if you're a Wisconsin or Marquette fan, your team has no shot whatsoever making the Final Four, so don't be a homer. Now, unless you just want to do a homer bracket, that's different. But out of the East, realistically, I think Villanova, Virginia, SMU and Duke are probably the only teams that have a shot getting out of the East. It's likely going to be Villanova or Duke, but I think SMU's got a legit shot, and so does Virginia. I'm just not sold on Baylor. I don't know why. Out of the Midwest, you got Kansas, you got Purdue, and you got Louisville. You know, those are the only three teams I think have any shot at all to get out of the Midwest. So those should be teams you got going far in your bracket. Again, Kansas, Purdue, and Louisville. Michigan, if they get hot from the three-point line like they did against Wisconsin in the second half, definitely they have a shot. But Creighton, Rhode Island, no. Oregon, they did, but not anymore. Iowa State, they always disappoint come tournament time. They always do. They just always disappoint. Out of the South, you got North Carolina, you got UCLA, you got Kentucky, pretty much it in the South. Butler could make a shocking run from the four seed spot, especially if some upsets happen. But your best bets would be North Carolina, UCLA, and Kentucky. And if you're looking for an upset, that 10-7 in the South, Wichita State and Dayton, I would say pick the Shockers. And then in the West, Gonzaga, they tend to always disappoint come tournament time. But there's just something about this year's Gonzaga team. Gonzaga, but realistically, Arizona are probably the only two teams in that half that have a legit shot in the Final Four. So, again, Gonzaga, Arizona, Kentucky, UCLA, North Carolina, Louisville, Purdue, Kansas, Villanova, Virginia, and Duke are probably your best shots if you want to be successful at all picking your NCAA tournament games. Because if you pick, in my opinion, any other team I didn't name to make a run to the Final Four and win the tournament, you're probably going to be wrong. And if you have Wisconsin in the Final Four, I'm the biggest Badgers fan you'd ever find. If you have Wisconsin in the Final Four, you're truly, definitely wearing the red and white colored glasses, because there's no chance they get through that second round game, assuming, which is going to be tough, but there's no way they get through Villanova. They won't even keep it within 15 against Villanova. So
you fit that one on the head, Evan. I can let a cat out of the bag, with this. It's that Wisconsin-Virginia Tech game is one of those games I talked about where you flip the coin and watch the coin roll round and round. Wisconsin definitely has the capability to handle Virginia Tech when they're on because they play good defense. So it's a game they can win, but it's also a game they could lose. Against Villanova, they would have to play a near-perfect game. Villanova is a complete team.
And they
you don't want to – yeah, and they could still do – I mean, they could. I mean, that's how good Villanova is. But I think you're right. I can't see Wisconsin getting by Villanova and getting to the Sweet 16. I don't see it happening, which means now it probably will, because I don't think they have a shot in hell to do it. It reminds me of the old Badger team that made that great run at one time. we can always look back on history, but I just don't see it happening this year. Marquette, I think they have a great shot at getting out of the first round against South Carolina. But again, then they run into Duke, and I don't think they got a shot in hell to get by Duke. As much as you want to pick for your home state team, if you're a Badger or Marquette fan, be real. If you want to give them one win, I'd be okay with that. But giving them two wins in this tournament, probably not going to happen. If you really want to do good in this tournament, you can go to ESPN and go to a bracket called Young vs. Old, which is the Go Big or Go Home bracket. Find my bracket. Look it up. It's visible to the public. Look at my bracket, and Evan will confirm this. Do the opposite of what I do. Just go look at my bracket. Do the opposite of what I do, and you would probably win. I had one crazy upset in today, Evan, in the South. That Wichita State game, I have them beating Kentucky in the second round. The reason, when I picked my bracket, I have UCLA going all the way to the Final Four. So I figured I could go with some crazy upset to see if it would happen. And I picked Wichita State over Kentucky. Now, the thing is, Kentucky could move forward, and Kentucky could legitimately get to the Final Four also. So it could have really backfired there. As I did up in the Midwest, I took Purdue over Kansas. Kansas has a great shot to get to the Final Four also. So my point here, and Evan, you can confirm this, go to my bracket, look at Troy's bracket, and do the opposite. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
So what do you think of that Wichita State game that I picked the upset? You think it could happen, or do you think I'm crazy?
Definitely could happen. I don't really envision it happening, but come March, you never know.
Well, that's going to wrap up the show, buddy. 11:30 already. Tomorrow is Wednesday. That means it's Twitter Talk. If you want to drop us a topic for those that listen in, find us on Twitter at Evan Witt Sports, at Troy Robert 967, or the show handle at Red Light Sports. Drop us a tweet. I know that people are listening to the show, Evan. I know that we've had some interaction via Twitter. If there's something that you want us to talk about tomorrow night, if it's NCAA related, great. Hockey related, great. Basketball related, great. NFL free agency, whatever you want to talk about, drop Evan and I a tweet at Evan Witt Sports, at Troy Robert 967, at Red Light Sports. And let's talk, and then join us tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on our Twitter feeds. We have the link out there. For Evan Witt Ellison, I am Troy Otradovic. Have a great night, everyone.